Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Breaking down the transgender mandate.
Like this, take this opportunity to welcome everyone into the Clay County Corner here again this morning, coming to you live and in living color on your radio dial, which just happens to be WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, where we come to you here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And we'd like to welcome everyone that's listening to us this morning, and you can sit back and relax, get that second or third cup of coffee, and call your neighbors and remind them that we're on live now, and also just let them know that we'll be rebroadcast this afternoon. We're going to start out this morning. I have Assistant Chief Fireman Matt Lovett, and I think he's the E-52 Volunteer Fire Department, and we're going to be talking about maybe, I know one big thing, that is the annual Massengill fish fry or catfish contest and fish fry and those things. And anytime I get some of the folks from the fire departments, I like to talk to them about who they are, where they are, and why they're doing this and things like that, and wander off and find out a little bit more about Matt. We just met a minute ago, so we may introduce each other to everyone here in a minute. And also got quite a bit of county news to talk about as we go on through the show here in a few minutes. But before we begin, we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible, especially the three-star committee and the Chamber of Commerce, and also all the fine folks that advertise on this. And I know we're kind of in a spot where we're coming out of hibernation now and going to get back, you know, to normal. Even here on the radio show, I know we've been kind of limiting ourselves to one guest and then me filling in, and we're still kind of on that schedule. But I think Miss Ashley Anderson from over at the Chamber, our administrative assistant, she's going to come over here and talk to us a little while this morning, if we run out of anything to say, if us two windbags here do. But usually we do pretty good, and it's always a pleasure to be here, and we want you to just feel comfortable listening to us. And we got our birthday and anniversaries today, where we're going to be giving away one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over to Dairy Queen. And golly, we have got a list today. I believe we have got 14 names on here today that have contacted and said they'd like to be put in the drawing for the cake. And I guess we'll have to put them all in there. Your chances are 1 in 14 today. We've had some where it's been like 1 in 2, but not today, folks.
Those are still pretty good odds.
Yeah, yes, it is. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute. And I think we will probably, I'll just start talking to Matt here just in a minute. And then a little bit later on, we've got to talk about the county fair that's coming up and quite a few other things. But with that, we will take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Making Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, Assistant Chief Mass here, and you know, just of course, this is the first time I have met him, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and kind of tell folks how he wound up here. He's not been in Clay County a long time, but I guess we'll have to accept him here. He's through the trial period. And Matt, good morning.
Good morning. So first, I'd like to address the acceptance. So far, everybody's been wonderful. They've always been wonderful as long as I've been here. I've been coming to Clay County since about 2000. I was a volunteer fire chief in Union County north of Knoxville and donated a fire truck to East 52 Fire Department. And since then, our relationship has grown. The fire chief and I run a nonprofit, and I retired from the city of Pigeon Forge Fire Department about a year ago, and I have chose to come to Clay County to hang out and enjoy the rest of my livelihood with my family.
Let me ask you this. You just mentioned something there. You mentioned something there, that the Pigeon Forge. Does that put you in Pigeon Forge at the time of the Great Fire?
It does.
Well, now, that's something I think our folks might be really interested in, you know, some of the things, the stories about that, and just kind of,
yeah.
Let's talk about that a few minutes.
All right, so, I worked for Pigeon Forge for almost 15 years, and there's a FireWise concept, basically talks about how we as humans and as urban people should be living in the forest. We do the FireWise program. We actually are adapting that to Clay County and Overton County as well, trying to get those thought processes in people's mind, because as you know, there's a lot of woods and a lot of interface here, and we want to make sure that that type of situation doesn't happen, because let's face it, they have a lot of resources there, and it happened. It can happen in rural areas as well. So we try to teach people that those FireWise concepts.
And some of those are, we have lots of folks that are moving here from various places that are picking out this nice spot out in a wooded area, and usually, not usually, but a whole lot of them are in very remote areas.
Absolutely. So the transition from urban or big city USA to Clay and Overton counties, Clay specifically, you're looking at people who have had services that they've had to pay for. We've always heard, as kids even, you know, you go to a big city, taxes are higher. You go up north, taxes are higher. People move here not only for the beauty and the sights of what we have to offer here, but they're looking at their income, their retirement income, trying to save a few bucks. Well, that's great. However, the tax base here is not what it is there. So the expectations that people have when they move into this area are set at a very, very high standard.
Right.
And sometimes they don't understand that that comes at a cost. And you have to weigh those. So you may not have a police officer at your door in 5 minutes. You may not have a fire truck at your door in 5 minutes. But you're not paying thousands of dollars a year, literally, for taxes. So as the volunteer service goes, we try to explain that to people and get them to invest directly into their volunteer fire departments or the rescue squad or, you know, whatever other organizations we have here in the county.
I know I'm a member of the Moss Volunteer Fire Department, have been, golly, ever since I built a home here back in the 1970s. And, you know, it's a small thing that a request each year, you know, to make a voluntary contribution to them. And I do know that it's been a tough time for any volunteer group of any kind during the past few years, not only with the COVID thing, but with just kind of the general public conception of some of the things when we had, I know here in Salina, a number of summers, we had someone standing on the corners every weekend with a bucket, and there wasn't a lot of accountability. And, of course, the COVID kind of took care of some of that a little bit, but I think we've got some regulations. But just this past weekend, I was actually up in Pigeon Forge and went up Ware Valley a little bit and took a ride and went up. I think there's a volunteer fire department.
There is.
Up there just a little ways off. And guess what they had out on the side of the road?
Absolutely. It's Ride Run weekend. They're trying to make some money.
And guess what? Had a boot out, didn't
they? Absolutely.
And we did that here for a while. Things kind of fall in place sometimes.
Yes,
okay, now, as a homeowner like that, you know, especially with the fire prevention, what are some of the things that you should do to protect your home from some of these things?
I know everybody loves the woods, and they love having the woods near them and having the wildlife come up to their back door and stuff like that. And that's just fine. We want to encourage that. But you also have to understand that any brush, any leaves, any twigs, anything that's going to be left laying around your house can become a fuel. So from the wildland side of it, we want to make sure that you've got a 3-foot space, hard space, between your home and your yardish area, and then green grass for about 30 feet, and then your logs and your dead timber need to be cleared out for about 100 feet. And that's just because when a tree falls, it's going to fall 40 or 50 feet, and it could fall into that area.
Well, does it make a noise when it falls so nobody can hear it?
I have heard that.
But now, along that line, too, I know regulations there in the Pigeon Forge area. Were there regulations there about how to go about, you know, how much undergrowth, dead things like that that you could actually take care of as a homeowner, or were there quite a few restrictions on it?
So there were not many restrictions at all, and that's one of the reasons why there was a group of us that were assigned by the fire chief to take care of these things and try to educate the people. As you are well aware, a lot of that area is transient community, meaning people are coming in and out, in and out,
right,
in and out.
Right.
There's lots of rental cabins. So when they were doing that, it was very, very hard for us to educate people, especially on holidays like the 4th of July, Labor Day, New Year's, people shooting fireworks on a mountainside, and it was not uncommon to have some pretty big fires.
How about last weekend, like Rod Run weekend?
So Rod Run weekend, they're very, very fortunate. They staff all the apparatus with extra people, and there's some overtime to be made, which was great for me and the other firefighters. But that town goes from about 8,000 permanent residents to about 300,000 for 2 weeks.
Right. And I'm just talking to some of the local folks that took them 3.5 hours to get from Kodak to Pigeon Forge to get to work.
I mean, yes, sir.
It was kind of a headache. But once again, you know, the revenue from that, it's something that I guess any small town would like to have.
Yes, sir, for a while.
But you're right, but it does become it becomes a problem when sometimes it gets too large.
Yes, sir.
Another thing, too, you know, we're constantly seeing, you know, the fires out west. Mm-hmm. And I think most of those states out there just have very, very strict restrictions on removing undergrowth and things like that. Which burned, you know, they burned right up to their house when a fire.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of friends. One of my buddies just retired from Cal Fire, and he's doing consulting. And we're actually trying to get him in this area so that we can do a presentation here. But basically, unfortunately, the insurance industry cannot tell you where you can and cannot build. So if I buy a piece of land and I get permits, I can build a house. And if you look at that reoccurring build a house, burn a house, build a house, the only opportunity that they have there would be to put in residential sprinkler systems and exterior sprinkler systems, and that's what they're looking at doing in a lot of those areas right now, and they're actually making those restrictions.
And it seems like that nothing deters those folks when they get the house built if they come right back and build again.
Yes, sir. And one of the bigger things that I learned prior to our fire, but it really sunk in after the fire in Sevier County was a lot of that land out there, it's federal land.
Right.
So they get federal resources. They get federal financial assistance in that area. Where here in Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, we don't have that many national forests that burn. To be honest, I think that was probably November 2016 was the first time we saw National Fire Service trucks in our region.
Okay, now I think I heard this morning maybe there is a fire right now over in that area.
I have no idea.
I thought I heard something this morning. I'm not real sure on that. But I'll tell you what, let's take a little short break, come back, and we're going to delve into you a few more minutes, and then we got a very important event to talk about here.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Said we've got Assistant Chief Matt Lovett, and you know, when I'm sitting here thinking a little bit, I can remember over the years that Alan King, he would talk about he had a buddy up in that area that was always helpful about helping them to, when he'd be on the show here, about doing donations for him. And I'm sitting here, I think, hey, that buddy's here.
Yes.
And he's here in Clay County. And it sounds like, I personally like to welcome you here, because it sounds like you're a pretty good addition to our folks here.
I'll try.
Thank you.
Good Lord willing, I'll continue on.
Okay, now, your career, go back. How many years have you been in the firefighting business?
So my dad was a firefighter in Farmington Hills, just outside of Detroit, Michigan. We moved to Tennessee, and I played as an explorer, young student firefighter, up until I was 18. Then at 18, I went to work for Rural Metro Fire in Knox County, and was the training officer at the Knoxville Volunteer Rescue Squad. Was fire chief at Paulette Volunteer Fire Department in Union County, and I've been doing this about 35 years. I've had some amazing opportunities. I've traveled all across the Southeast United States, and I teach a lot, so strike team task force leader on some of the swift water rescue stuff. It worked out very well for me. It was a blessed career.
Okay, and then your career has been the firefighting business.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you weren't.
That's all I've done is fire rescue and teaching.
That's a very, very well chosen occupation for anyone that that does that, and I know. Just you being here, I'm talking to Horn, it's made a big difference here. And, of course, we kind of fussed on him because he kind of deserted us a little bit. I'm not sure exactly what his status is now. I think he's still over in Cookeville, isn't he?
He's working full-time for the city of Cookeville as a firefighter. EMT. And honestly, that promotes his progression here in Clay County, because as firefighters, we worked a 24-48 schedule. So you're on 24 hours and then you're off 2 days. And James has done very well with taking the opportunities of that time off to help fix fire apparatus, help educate people, and just help serve the community. You know, several members of our department, but he leads a lot of the CPR classes that are being taught in the community. We've got an AED program. So even though he's commuting to Cookeville, his heart's still here in Clay County.
So maybe we call him an ad hoc member of the...
No, he's the lead. He's the king, literally.
Now I know we have got an event coming up here, an annual event, and tell us a little bit about it. And of course, now I think maybe Bobby was one of my students when I first started teaching in high school. And of course,
starting to tell your
Mitch,
age.
Mitch was, and also James was.
Yep.
So very familiar with these young men.
So the Bobby Massengill Memorial Catfish Classic and Fish Fry. It's a 2-day event. Basically, the catfish, the fishing takes place on May 7th, and then we fillet up all the fish and we cook them up and we eat them on the 8th. I'm going to focus on the eating part.
Well, now, this is not a rod and reel fishing contest.
Oh, no.
See, now, that's something I guess a lot of folks think, you know, they're going out there trying to catch catfish like you would a bass.
I'll be honest, I have no idea. I don't know what it's called. I'm being educated as we go, but it's these floats and a string, and they just bob, and the catfish comes up and apparently eats whatever's on it and then takes this float and goes away. I'm going to learn a lesson.
Well, you know, a little bit about those things. Part of them is called noodling, part of them.
There we go.
Because they go over to Walmart and buy these toy noodles that the kids play with and cut them in about 3-foot strips. And then they're very careful to put their name on there, because the game and fish folks don't appreciate it if you don't have a name on it. And basically they know these spots up in the hollers and places where they just put them out. And I think the baits run from catfish, chicken livers, live minnows and things like that. And they take them out the night before, I guess. What time do they actually start when they take those things out? And now, they started from a thing called trot line fishing, where they would string a line across a hollow back up in one of the hollows, your own Elmdale Hollow.
Yes, sir.
And that became kind of impractical as the boat traffic picked up here. That wasn't a real good idea, but now they just kind of float out there on their own.
Right. So if they want to go to our Facebook page, it's posted on there, the times, and we will be working out of Horse Creek.
Right.
And all that stuff will be there. To enter the event, it's $20. And obviously, all additional donations are appreciated. But you can also call 931-243-2125 for further information. And again, this is going to be a huge learning curve for me, because I'm not an avid outdoorsman as far as hunting and fishing, so this will be an interesting weekend for me.
Now, you're going to have to learn those things now. I mean, you know,
I've already prepared a cot for the pontoon boat. That's where I will be.
So you're kind of maybe a tournament marshal, where you...
sure, yeah. I'll be the guy asleep on the cot until they start cooking.
And, of course, you've got Thomas Weaver and the folks up there that help with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think usually live entertainment.
Yes, sir. So we will be serving food on Saturday. That will start at 5 p.m. And we will have all you can eat, wonderful plate. And we're also raffling off a Ruger 10-22 carbine hardwood, 18.5-inch 22, and 525 rounds of ammunition.
That ammunition's high, right?
Yes, sir. So for $5, you can get a raffle ticket, and those are available through any East 52 volunteer firefighter. Or, again, you can call 931-243-5352, and we will be more than glad to get a hold of someone and get you some tickets.
And I think Thomas said, you know, that most every year that there have usually been some catfish left over. So
yes, sir. We've been very fortunate. There have been some things changed this year, but they apparently have never let anyone leave there hungry.
And we, of course, once again remind everyone that the date is again?
Friday, May 7th is the fishing tournament, and that'll be an all-day event. And then Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. we'll be serving up fish.
Fish, music, good times,
absolutely.
Good conversation.
It's all about, and I guess my thing is, it's the opportunity for the people to come out and see what we're doing and talk to us. And, you know, we're here to serve the community. We can't do it without the community's help, and that's where we're at.
Okay, and, of course, the last little bit, I know, did you guys have to help with any of the cleanup mess after the little freeze we had? Did you?
Yeah, so a lot of our members had done stuff here in Clay County, and then about a week or so later, they were actually asked to go help some of the folks from Overton County as well.
So that was a pretty good mess in part of that up in that area, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And but like I said, I know as a member of the volunteer fire department, when they're needed, usually there's at least one company there, and kind of like we're here, if we have a fire somewhere close to the territory or anywhere over there, I guess Matt will look up and he'll see a moss truck heading that way, coming that way.
Absolutely.
And the same thing when we have something over this way, they head. I mean, it's just, I know they're in each community, but probably our volunteer fire departments, I mean, they kind of act as just one big fire department when the emergency calls for it.
You mentioned something earlier about how times are changing and COVID's changed some things, and there's been some hard times over the last few years as far as recruitment, retention, getting people who are involved, and obviously the financial side of it. And the truth is, whether you're sitting on top of Baptist Ridge, Pea Ridge, out in Moss, Hermitage Springs, wherever you're at in your community, there's a need. And the truth is, the fire department is an insurance policy. You know, these guys are out educating every day. They're maintaining trucks. They're doing things in the community to try to help, and that takes money and that takes people. And if anyone feels in their heart that they should be helping, then obviously contact your local fire department and they will tell you how.
And as we know, you guys are ready to move at any time and you're always there. And we citizens of Clay County, we really, really appreciate our volunteer fire in the county, and I appreciate you coming down this morning. It's nice to finally meet you.
Yes, sir.
And it took me a few minutes for my mind to focus in on, because I know the name looked and sounded from, and I had you write it down so I could read it and look at it and let my mind work.
Yes, sir.
But it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
And any time that you have some type of special event or any kind of announcement you'd like to make, you just shoot me a message and we'll arrange a time for you and get you to come down and tell the folks here in Clay County all about it.
Absolutely. And I just want to put out there, we're doing CPR classes. So if you have a community event or a community group that wants to do CPR classes, please give us a call. If you're more interested in the FireWise, Fire Adaptive Community stuff, again, give us a call. We're here to help. We want to be able. Oh, and we're also putting up free smoke alarms in any residence that does not have them. So please contact any of your local fire departments, and we will ensure countywide that you have smoke alarms.
Well, no, I think just my little mind just hit something here that everyone here in the county, when you get your homeowner's fire policy,
mm-hmm.
and you look on there and you see the little place there where you can check if you have fire services.
Yes, sir.
Take a look at that and see how much that saves you on your insurance and contribute at least half that to your volunteer fire department.
I love your way of thinking. Here's the thing. You know, you're going to pay for the services that you get, and we don't want it to be a tax-based service. So It's just about people helping each other and helping the community and being what the community once was.
Because I guarantee you right there, every one of us are contributing less than what the discount that we receive on our homeowner's insurance is because we have your services.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. And with that, I'm going to read off my birthday list, and we'll let you get back to work, and
yep.
Really appreciate it. And glad I got to meet you. And we'll be back after I get through with all this stuff here. I've got a whole big, long list of birthdays today, beginning with Miss Carla Rich, celebrated the birthday this past week. I've got Sheila Long on the 20th, Marion Murphy on the 20th, Rick Buford on the 20th, and Kenzie Reagan turned 9 on the 20th of this month. John Murray across the street here turned 70 on the 21st, and I know his wife would really, and all of his family would like to wish him a happy birthday. Karen Carmack on the 21st celebrated the birthday, and this is a good one here too. David Westmoreland Jr., otherwise known as Rat, celebrated the birthday on the 22nd, and also Donna Stone and Elaine Cherry celebrated the birthday the 22nd. Sue Cherry on the 19th. And also we'd like to wish David and Wendy Spears a happy anniversary on the 16th. And Miss Rita Brown on the 16th. And then Miss Eliza Cunningham celebrated the birthday. I believe it is the 22nd. And Nana and Pa called in for her. Wish her a happy birthday. So we'll put all of these in our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system here in a few minutes, and we'll draw out a winner, and you will go over and pick up your Dairy Queen card. And we'll remind everyone that you've got 30 days to pick these things up now. So we have got a little time limit on that. And the number to call is 243-5574. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and Ashley Anderson is here with me. She's going to come over and sit down, and we're going to, we'll talk about some of the things that are going on over at the chamber. She is the administrative assistant, I believe is her correct title right now, and she's kind of the Gal Friday over there. And if you don't know who the Gal Friday is, she's the one who does everything that nobody else can do or won't do. So, but we'll be back just in a few minutes. Thank you.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here once again, and I'm extremely glad that we got Assistant Chief Matt Lovett down here. Like I said, I've heard his name for a number of years, and very, very interesting. The folks were getting to move into Clay County the last little bit, and looks like he is a very, very welcome addition to our volunteer fire departments, and not only that, but just for the entire county for some of the things that he is involved in. And I know that the folks out there are glad to have him and with us. But now, right now, like I said, Ashley's come in and sitting with me a few minutes, and she won't know what we were going to talk about. Man, we may wander off a lot of different things, but I know one of the things we want to start talking about, and that is the return of the Clay County Fair this year. And I know that I am right in the middle of updating the website, and the URL for that website is just claycountytnfair.org. And right now I've got the opening page finished, and I've got the MapQuest thing linked up, and just a little bit about the fair. I've got those things on there, but we're getting worked up. We're still working on information. Now we do have some things that are set right now, and fair activities will begin on May the 22nd with the first of the fair competition, and then I think the next weekend it's just the fair marble tournament is the 29th. And then the fairgrounds itself and the fair will open on Tuesday, June the 1st, and I get run through Saturday night. And we'll have more information up on the website. There's information on there's a Clay County Fair Facebook page that has something on it. And on that page, you can actually, right now they have the rules and the regulations posted for the first of the fair contest, which is coming up, so you can go on there and take a look at those things. So there are lots of things coming up. I know that in the near future, some of the things that actually about websites, I think the Clay County Chamber is right in the midst of working on a new website, aren't they, Ashley?
Yes, we just got a new website. We're fixing to get it up and running, and it's going to be more, I guess, smartphone friendly to navigate through with your phones, because most people, especially tourists, whenever they come through here, use their phones to look at.
And while that is still in the construction phase, there's something that we would love for the photography, amateur photography folks, or anyone that has some great scenery pictures of Clay County, pictures of maybe activities going on the lake, or pictures of kayakers kayaking down the river. You know, we need pictures like that, because right now we were kind of sitting up with stock pictures, and if you notice through there, sometimes you see things that don't quite fit what the thing that we would like to have here. And so we need pictures, good pictures. Need pictures in and around town, out in the country. Just like I said, anything that would make a good picture to attract people to Clay County. And that's kind of what that website is supposed to do, isn't it, Ashley?
Yes.
Now, what all have you been involved in getting that done? Have you had to help much on that, or is it kind of turned over to the professional on that one?
It was more turned over to the professionals. I had to gather a few photos, but
I found you some I think we might be able to use. But now let's talk about you a little bit. I know sometimes some folks like to do that and some don't. I know you've been over at the chamber office since
December,
and you took
Taylor.
Who was it? Taylor Miller, I believe.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget people, don't we? But no, Taylor, we're just kidding. You have to be listening. But you had quite a big pair of shoes to fill when you went in over there.
Yeah, there's a lot to do, especially to keep up with Doug.
And I know some of the things that you got thrown in right in the middle of this. I mean, we got a little bit of help on back and forth. And that was, it was the beginning of the Zoom era.
Oh, yeah.
Were you familiar with that at all when you went in there? Or?
A little bit. I was doing online college classes, so I had to Zoom some during that. But
so you are a... Well, let's see, you're a full-time mother.
Yes.
A part-time student.
Yep.
And I guess the job over there is semi-full-time, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I can make it full-time if I want to work on Fridays.
And you're, like I said, your position over there involves, golly, what all does that involve?
Oh, Lord. What doesn't it involve? Everything. We help make the ads for the... Shopper and Southeast Advertiser gather information for
them. Okay, now those ads, is it a new ad every month? Or?
Every month, in both of them, yeah.
In both of those.
And we're going to do the chamber members, the new membership, people that just joined the chamber. We're going to do a member spotlight now in each ad that we do each month to promote the businesses that join the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, now let's talk a minute there. You just hit upon something there. Membership in the chamber. I know there was a membership drive this year.
Uh-huh.
Well, was it fairly successful? Or?
We had around 40 people join, which is good compared to last year, but still not where we want it to be. We would love if more people wanted to join. There's plenty of benefits. You get lots of free advertising through us for your business. You have to send us pictures to promote your business, though. That's another thing. Nobody wants to send pictures.
that's kind of strange. You know, most of the time, it's not... It's trouble, sorting through and not using pictures.
Right. Yeah, it's like pulling teeth trying to get pictures for some reason.
And I know that you said, this business spotlight. And I do know, too, also there's something there that kind of irritates you and some other folks is that the ads there, we have trouble, you have trouble finding pictures of local businesses. And we wind up with stock photo pictures and... Sometimes you think, if we had a picture of someone, that a business owner or a shopper or something like that, that
more
it would catch the eye. Mm-hmm. And then you go read the rest. You got to have that eye catcher there to begin with.
Yeah.
But maybe the spotlight on the business will help take care of that. Have we picked the first one out yet?
Yes, our first business spotlight is going to be Michael Harding, Around the Clock Heating and Cooling. He is new to town. I think he moved here from California, and he's going to be our first one.
Okay. And I know he has, we have a lot of energetic people that move in, and one of our bigger problems is keeping their energy kind of contained and use that energy in the best way in Clay County.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a lot of ideas come in and don't hardly fit where the idea is being presented.
People come here from a lot bigger places and then have to adjust to the little small town.
Like our fireman, he was talking here, that the folks that come in, and he was talking about, that we have a budding settlement in a place here in Clay County that quite a few people are coming in and moving in, and one of the first questions they would ask was, why is there not a fire station out here with all these homes and things that are going to be here? And, you got to kind of remind them that they're in Clay County. They're not in Metro Davidson County where there is a fire station basically on every corner.
Right.
And if you want a fire station, it may be the point when you get enough folks built there that you have to have a homeowners association and you come up on with your own little fire department.
Yep.
I mean, because there's really, the budget that our county runs on, there's really not, we're budgeted, we're great that we have an ambulance service and rescue that can take care of that type of thing. But, our rescue squads, our fire department, these are all everyday citizens that have jobs every day that volunteer their time to protect your home or to protect your life. And so, you know, it's great that we have that, but, you know, if all these other things, the more you get, the more you have to pay,
mm-hmm.
and in taxes. So we've got that. Okay, now, you, I know you, you're a part-time student and in the nursing program, and you're educating at what school?
Well, I was going to Somerset, doing Somerset Community College, doing online classes, and starting in May, I will be leaving the chamber, unfortunately, and going full-time to TCAT, to the nursing program through them.
So you've got that taken care of now?
Yep.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, if I don't change my mind.
You know, the nursing program is a very, very rigorous and competitive type thing, isn't it, Ashley? As I know you have found out.
Yes, it is.
it's not like most public education where you just, if you want to go, you get accepted and you get a go.
Right. No, it takes some effort and time.
And what about when you first apply? Are there pre-tests and things you have to do to even get accepted at all?
Well, I think it depends on where you go to, but through summer or through Livingston, they have the HESI exam that you have to take, and it consists of a critical thinking test, English, and then a math test, and you have to pass all of those. Of course, the critical thinking one, they just look at it, and then that's kind of like where they choose, you know, I guess if your mindset's right for nursing.
I thought critical thinking for you. Thought before you criticize someone.
Well, I guess that too, Thomas. But yeah, it was very, the math, that was hard for me. I'm not a math person.
I just threw something at you that I used to do to my students all the time. That was to break their train of thought right in the middle of a test or something, throw something like that out there.
And then you get me thinking about something else, and then I'm off them all, and...
And now, your job over there, I know it's been a pleasure having you there, and I know that the Zoom meeting thing, you know, that has changed everything, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Beginning with your education, you know, you being a stay-at-home mother, you could do from home.
There's so much more you can do now, I feel like. Before, you know, me as a mom, I worry about child care. How am I going to get somebody to watch my children, you know, so I could leave and go to class every day? Well, then once the COVID happened and everything pretty much went to Zoom meetings, classes through Zoom, it made it so much easier to actually attend because you didn't have to worry about leaving your kids somewhere, finding someone to take care of them.
You know, I know this week, I know the meeting that I sat in on, we had... 17 participants?
We did.
And normally if we, you know, try to have a meeting there in the chamber, you might get six, seven, eight people. And I think everyone is getting used to that camera and the microphone. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that most people, I all had that problem to begin with, that, you know, they thought, I'm not a movie to do this.
Right.
But it's just being normal people and having a meeting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that with the Zoom, it really helps people be able to participate more because they don't have to leave their job, you know, and take time out of their day to drive, you know, from, say, Cookeville to here. They can just hop online and do it, and then whenever it's over, they're right there where they need to be. They don't have to take that drive time.
Now, I know most agencies, county-wise, state-wise, regional-wise, all those things, that they've... really restricted travel during the COVID period where folks could not get out and drive to Salina for a meeting. Now, that's kind of changing a little bit now, but I think maybe a lot of the officials have decided, hey, you know, it may be a little bit cheaper to do it on Zoom
Absolutely.
Than it is to pay mileage and have them leave. What, you know, a trip from Nashville to Salina for a one-hour meeting winds up being at least a 6 hour of lost time.
Right, it's pretty much an all-day
job,
trip.
About
yeah.
an all-day
so
trip.
Now you can just jump online, do it, and go back to your regular
go
desk
back
job.
To work,
yep.
And they think, golly, I'm getting a whole lot more out of these folks now.
Yeah.
And they don't get to take that vacation
no.
during the day and come up to Salina.
Nice
and
drive.
Go up to the barbecue
yep.
or to Ollie's and eat while
food.
They're here. But, you know, but as someone sang in a song a long time ago, the times they are changing.
Oh, they just keep changing.
Thank goodness. And some of them are for the better. And I do know we've had lots of publicity the last little bit about the COVID, about the vaccines. You're not the age-wise where you get to get vaccinated yet, are you?
I'm not sure. I know in Kentucky.
Well, maybe they are open now. Yeah, all the way down.
I know that they are open up.
You are over. You are over 16, aren't you?
Oh, just by a little bit, not by much.
I know that. We keep hearing all these things and that type of thing. But on the bandwagon, everyone needs to get vaccinated because. When you're, the age that some of us are, we have been through numerous vaccination processes.
Right.
Beginning with the time when folks my age were vaccinated, the entire school population in the United States were vaccinated with the Salk vaccine against polio. There wasn't any questions asked. We little fellas got in a little line down at the elementary school, and they walked down through there and gave us a shot. Smallpox, you probably never had to take the smallpox vaccination where they took a needle and picked a hole on your arm about half big as a dime.
No.
It stayed sore forever.
I would say so.
Of course, now with children that'll be getting ready to go to school before long, they will, of course, they'll have to go through the vaccination process. There are certain things that, for the protection of everyone, and for some reason or other, this time with the COVID thing, a lot of folks have gotten, I hate to say this, kind of drab, but they've got more self-centered and are more concerned about their own safety than they are their neighbor's safety sometimes. But, it takes that attitude, that everyone's my neighbor and everyone needs to be cared for.
I saw a news article, I think, don't quote me for sure on it, that they said that 75 million people have been vaccinated in the world now. And there was only like 6,000 deaths out of it. And if you add this number, that's nothing really in comparison to how many people have been vaccinated. I know a lot of people are afraid, to get it, but I don't think that that's the...
Well, I know here in the United States, with the Johnson & Johnson thing, that, we found six, blood clotting, mm-hmm. serious blood clotting cases, 6 out of 7 million people.
Right.
But that's six.
Yeah,
that's what we focused on. Six people.
But out of that many people, that's not really much at all.
No, it's minuscule when you look at the numbers compared to, and then it's also minuscule in importance when you look to the importance of the COVID vaccine. And I did notice yesterday on our website that we did have one new case yesterday. I think the first one we've had here in a pretty good while. So now, you're now going to be leaving in May again. I thought we had you till September there for a while.
Well, I'm very indecisive, and I keep going back and forth. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and go and get it over with.
Just kind of hold your nose, shut your eyes, and jump right in the middle
basically,
of it.
Basically, yeah. Dive in.
And so you're going to be going over to Livingston.
Yes.
And be going. Now, how much longer are you looking at?
I'll be done next May. Just a year.
So I've got a year left.
Yep.
And then what's after that?
I might come back to the chamber. I don't know if I can leave Doug among us.
Well, now, as far as the nursing career, this is just the first step, education-wise, in the nursing. What is next for you if you decide, to go on into the career and try to advance?
Well, I already did medical assisting, so I worked in a pediatrics office in Cookeville Pediatrics and Adolescents for a while, and I really, really liked that. And then I did home health, too, so I'm in between those two, either pediatrics or doing geriatrics, probably home health, something like that. That's what I'm hoping to do.
You're going to wind up with your career in health, I guess, before it's all over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, now, I know we've, like I said, we had some meetings the other day, and... Dr. Young, I kind of had hoping I could coerce him this morning to kind of talk about some of the things.
Well, he had some more meetings.
But he had some other meetings and things that he had to do. But, we had some very, very important meetings the last couple of days. I know we had the lady who is in charge of the 3-star program. And the 3-star program needs input.
Mm-hmm.
from everyone in the county about, you know, some of the ways to make this county more accessible to the tourists that come through, more services, more jobs and things for the people that already live here. And these things are all tied together. I mean, the people living here, we need the folks coming through here.
Yeah.
The folks coming through here need us to make their stay here more enjoyable. So it's a two-way street. But now we need lots of folks that get involved. If you have an idea of something that needs to be improved, changed, added, nothing is too far-fetched to throw out there. And, you know, it may not be exactly what everyone thinks, but if you've got one little spark in there, that you know, it may spark some other folks to thinking and talking about some of the things that we need here in the county. And I know we constantly hear things that we need. You know, I know we're lucky we just got, the city just got control of Donaldson Park, which is going to become more usable. And I know we've had some great events up there in the last few years, especially with our archery folks. And I think they've got it booked again this year. And they're just our fish hatchery, you know, getting the words out that we've got a fish hatchery here that has an aquarium there and things like that. And I know some of the, Matt talked about, that, you know, that he's available to help the civic groups here. You know, like if you have a Weight Watchers group that you would like to have Matt to come in and talk to you about fire safety.
Right.
I mean, things like that, you know, where we help each other, which we've always been noted for, that we do help each other. And hopefully, you know, with the kind of the coming of the end of COVID, that there are going to be some things that will change here, that will change attitudes. And I do know a lot of folks, it's caused us to look around and think more about our neighbors and our access to each other. And I think you kind of realize when you go through something like this that you're actually a whole lot closer to folks than you thought you were. Not just because you might catch something from them, but when you had to stay away from them.
Right, makes you realize.
You know, it made you realize that there's so many things. I actually reach in there and pull out the number there, and we will give away a cake, and I'll let you take the name back with you. Number, let me see how I wrote that. That's number six. Number six, John Murray. John, you have just won a birthday cake over at the Chamber. And we'd like to thank everyone that got the word out to us this week that we had the birthday and anniversary cake. And we'd like to have this many people every week. Of course, I'd say there's probably not that many that have birthdays the same week like this week. And of course, there's a couple we didn't mention, but we'd like to wish everyone a happy birthday and many, many more. And with that, I think it's probably we're about to run out of time here. And see, you didn't have anything at all to talk about, did you?
No, not much.
But like I said, we're going to miss you, having you around. And you can always come back. And
oh, I'm sure I will.
And you may have some spare time to come in and kind of catch up on things. But I think maybe you've been training a replacement for your place until you...
I have. Kayma Johnson is supposed to be my replacement.
And I think, is she not also kind of aiming at a field, profession in the medical field also?
Yes, she's going towards radiology, and she's also working at the Cookeville Hospital right now too. But she'll stay there. I think she's just going to work there on Saturdays.
Okay, so we got her through the week.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we'd like to thank everyone that joined us this morning and remind you that we'll have a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we really do appreciate everyone listening to us this morning. And I'm very appreciative of our guest, Matt Lovett. And also I'm glad that Ashley came down and joined us, because I didn't know that she was going to be leaving and kind of doing a little farewell thing today. But actually, it's been a pleasure being able to work with you, and it's great having you here this morning. And with that, I guess it's now we've got everything shut up here. and back in its place where it ought to be. And with that, we'll go say, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here at the same time here on your radio dial, WVFB FM 105.5 Kicks Country. And with that, good day, Clay County.